Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on Mortal Life, the life God wants you to have. Are you confused about your next steps? Not sure what to do about a challenge you're facing? We're going to help you discern God's plan and get the confidence you need to move forward.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the life God wants you to have. We're talking about discernment and having the confidence you need to move forward, to know what the right thing to do is or the right thing to say might be in whatever that challenge is that you happen to be facing right now. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And tell us, are you struggling to figure out the right way to respond to a particular challenge in your life or relationships? Are you unsure of what to say to move a particular difficult conversation forward? Maybe you feel stuck trying to figure out what God wants you to do about a big or small challenge in your life. Let us help you discern those next steps, give you tools to be confident in knowing God's will for the big and small situations in your life. 877-573-7825.
And I think that it's so important to remember that there is nothing too small or too big for God to care about and
That's
to
right.
help us with. You know, I can't remember what it was. But we were praying last night, we were doing night prayers, and our youngest child said something. And it was just, this is too small to mention, but, and you were very quick to say, nothing's too small for God, you know? So when we're trying to discern things, what's my next step in this? How does God want me to live in this situation or in this next stage of my life? Sometimes it's really tiny things. Sometimes it feels like a huge new phase for some reason. But God's in all of it, and he loves you, and he wants you to work out a plan with him for your life that helps you be everything that he created you to be, the gift that he wants you to be to the world, but also open to all the gifts that he wants to give you so that you can embrace more of a relationship with him every single day by how you're going to be living out this next step of your life, big or small.
And here's the good news. You know, when we talk about discerning God's will, you know, it seems kind of overwhelming, I think, for a lot of people.
Well, and we always sort of hear it in terms of, like, whole life vocations.
Yeah.
It's not talked about a lot in the real everyday world.
Nitty-gritty, yeah. And what we're really talking about here is, you know, how does God want us to respond to, you know, that person that irritates us? How does God want us to respond to this particular challenge or this conversation that we need to have or this, you know, thing that we need to do but don't want to do or are struggling mm-hmm. with doing? You know, God wants to be involved in all of those things. And on top of that, you know, he promises us in Scripture that if we seek his wisdom, he will answer us. If we seek his will, he will show us. You know, we treat it like it's a big mystery, knowing what God's will is. And I won't lie. I mean, it's sometimes a process, certainly. But God
isn't...
I think
that's a good way to put it.
But God isn't keeping secrets from you. You know, it's not like his will for your life is this big enigma shrouded in mystery that you have to jump through certain hoops to get him to finally reveal it to you. It's right there if you know how to access it. And
right.
That's what we want to talk about. You know, what is that process that allows you to really hear God's voice and know his will for you as you go about your day? You know, and as you face the stuff you got to face. So let's talk it out. You know, what are some basic principles that we can use, all of us, to know what the right thing to do is, responding to a particular challenge in our life or relationships, to know what to say to move a particular difficult conversation forward, to get unstuck and know what God's calling us to do about this irritating person or this frustrating situation or this obstacle that I keep running up against that's either in myself or in my life. Let us help you identify and discern those next steps and move forward with grace and confidence today on our show titled The Life God Wants You to Have. And by the way, much of the advice that we're giving on today's program is taken from my book of the same name, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about discerning God's will for your life, especially when things aren't turning out the way you hoped.
Mm.
You know, how do you hate those times?
Yeah, does everybody else hate those times?
Figure out what God's calling you to in those situations when, you know, you went ahead with your plans and you thought it might have been God's will, and it just blew up in your face, and you're not sure, now what? That's what The Life God Wants You to Have is all about. You can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. But you don't even have to wait for the book. You can just call us now at 877-573-7825, and we are happy to walk you through those steps and help you determine what God is asking you to do in the big and small challenges in your life and move forward with confidence. 877-573-7825.
Thanks for giving that number again. I was about to because I know I stepped on you there. I don't want anybody to miss it. It's 877-573-7825. And certainly all of us have to deal with this situation. Every single one of us, whether it's those simple everyday things, like you said, Greg, how do I deal with this person who's irritating me? How do I deal with this new thing, this new challenge that's going on in my life? Or those larger discernment times. Should we have another baby? Should we, you know, live in a new place? Should we, whatever that is, especially right now, I know there are a lot of families going through, what college should my child go to? It's that time of the year where, you know, college acceptances are happening. And a lot of families are struggling with that. If your child is going off to school somewhere, what's the next step for you as the parent? There are so many times in life where we just say, oh my goodness, what now? And we have to figure out the what now with the grace of God. Let us help you do that today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. And as every day, we look at how the theology of the body informs everything we're doing in our lives, because it really does. We can see today that our natural tendency is to allow ourselves to be limited or even defined by the obstacles we see in our path. But St. John Paul II's theology of the body reminds us to think of the big picture. In the face of an obstacle, instead of giving up, the Christian's job is to ask, how does God want me to respond to this? Instead of just assuming that the obstacle represents the natural limits of what can be accomplished, the theology of the body invites us to prayerfully reflect on what God wants to make of this situation by allowing him to work through us.
That's exactly right. And the theology of the body reminds us that we do live in tension between what St. John Paul called historical man and eschatological man. That's to say that we're caught between what is and how God is working in the world and through us to make all things new. Now, obviously, there are lots of things that stand between how the world works now and how God wants it to work. And that's why the Christian has to learn to see obstacles as opportunities for God's power to be revealed as we allow him to work in us and through us and with us. In the face of any issue, we can know the next steps God wants us to take by prayerfully reflecting on the question, Lord, help me know what is the most meaningful, intimate, and virtuous response I can make to the challenge in front of me. And when we prayerfully reflect on that question, God opens our eyes to the possibilities he can see, even when we can't. And look, it's true that we can never know the right thing to do on our own power. But Jesus Christ, who is a good teacher, who is rabbi, right, has promised to show us the way. And we need to count on that promise. Keeping that more eschatological, or to put it another way, spiritually solution-focused mindset that the theology of the body encourages us, allows us to imagine the possibilities that exist in the face of our obstacles. It allows us to hope for more than what the broken world and our own brokenness allow us to imagine. It allows us to see through eyes of grace. So let us help you identify those next steps and help you begin to know what is God calling you to do, asking you to do, and how to know that confidently as you move forward with whatever decision you're facing. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, and
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring to you all the challenges we face, especially those challenges where we are confused and uncertain about what to do, and especially what you would have us do. Lord, you were called rabbi, teacher, and a good teacher never hides the lesson plan from his students. And you are the best teacher. In those times when we do feel confused and lost, help us to remember that your plan for our life is not a big state secret hidden behind a veil, but it is something that you want to share with us, if only we ask with receptive and open hearts and minds. And so clear out the confusion, clear out the doubts, clear out all the self-talk that stands between us and hearing your voice clearly, so that in the big and small challenges we face in our everyday lives, we can be informed by your grace and your wisdom, and that your will might be done. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, the show is titled The Life God Wants You to Have, taken from my book of the same name, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about discernment, especially when things aren't going the way you had planned them to go. How do you figure out what God's asking you to do in those big and small things? Well, we're not going to tell you what God wants you to do, because we're not qualified for that, but we can give you some tips and processes, if you will, that enable you to be clearer about what God is asking you to do in your life. So let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Stephanie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Georgia on The Quest.
Hey there, Stephanie. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Hi, thank you. Yes, I am just in the midst of figuring out our schooling situation for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two high schoolers that are at one school right now, a middle schooler at another school, and then I have a three-year-old that will be starting preschool. And so I have the option to bring them all to one school that is pre-K through high school,
mm-hmm.
But not so sure my high schoolers want to change from their school now. So
sure.
That's, you understand that, yeah.
Interesting that you say you're not so sure. Have you asked them?
Well, yes. I know one of them.
That's step one, right?
Doesn't. I should have been more clear. One of them really wants to stay where he is, and it's very far away, so it's a challenge.
Mm.
So let me ask you this. In terms of how you're trying to discern this now, What are you and your husband, or you and the family, doing to try to figure this out?
You know, we've just started just talking to especially the older kids, and just, you know, seeing where they are and kind of discussing some pros and cons. So, yes.
Okay. And are you guys praying about it together at all yet?
You know, not directly, no.
Okay, and would you know how to start if you were going to start praying about it?
Yes, definitely.
Excellent. Okay, though, that's great news. All right, so let's talk about kind of just some things to keep in mind as you all begin to pray about this. All right, so what I would suggest to you is, you know, acknowledging, you know, all the good things that everybody wants. You know, kind of don't start with, you know, where do you want to go to school? Start with, what is going to school where you're going to school mean to you, right? What are the benefits of going where you're going right now? And kind of get those down on paper, right? And then you say, because the reason I'm asking this, right, you're saying, is because whatever solution we come to, we want to make sure that we do our best to kind of meet all of those needs or respond to all of those good things. So that whatever solution we come up with, it's one that really respects the things that are important to all of us. And I don't know how that's all going to go together yet, and neither do you. But let's all kind of, in humility, just sort of put all that stuff out there and see what God can do with it, right? So that's step one. In your discussions, you're not asking where do you want to go, because then everybody kind of locks down on their plan. You kind of step back and say, what's good about where you want to go? What are the needs that you're trying to meet, or the benefits that you get?
And I think it's very important to say, what are the needs you're trying to meet, in the process of all those other questions about what's good about it, about, you know, what, why they want to be there. What are the needs you're trying to meet is really an essential question, because needs can be met in many, 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 many ways. And I mean, I'm not talking basic, like, you know,
food, water, shelter,
Water, shelter needs. I'm talking about those emotional and spiritual needs that are met to help your children feel the best they can feel on a day-to-day basis while they have to conquer their world every day.
And one of those needs, okay, is also being the family that you want to be. Mm-hmm. Right. Kind of, I would say that, you know, kind of put out there, as we kind of think about this, could we think about what options allow us to be a closer, stronger, happier family? You know, so it's not just, kind of focused on this one thing, but you're taking the bigger context into account as well. So you write that all down in your discussions.
And please, we're going to say this again, write it down.
Makes a difference.
Put people's names next to the needs. Make sure you read it back to the people that have listed their needs so they know they've been heard right. Because only when they feel heard, only when they know they're truly part of the process and something's not going to be inflicted on them without their buy-in, will you really have their hearts and be able to discern this well.
The second step, then, is to bring it to God. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to, as you pray about this, I want you to be able to say, you know, Lord, you know, we know what each of us wants. And then say, you know, look at the list and say, you know, Timmy wants thus and such, and, you know, Joanne wants this and that. You know, you just bring it all to God. And you say, but Lord, help us to know what you want out of all of this, and help us to take care of each other while we work to figure it out. You got that? So, you know, Lord, we all know what we want. And help us to really respect those desires. But as we work through this, help us to know what you want, and help us to take care of each other while we figure it out. And this is not just going to be one prayer. It's going to have to be something that you do every day until you kind of figure it out together. But you bring this to family prayer every day. You pray about it the way I'm suggesting. And each time you spend a little bit of time after that prayer talking about what God was kind of saying to you as you were listening to each other talk about this stuff. So what you're doing is you're having kind of a family meeting, and you're making God the most important part of the family meeting, right? And you're talking to him as if you were talking to each other about this big decision. St. Ignatius of Loyola talks about three different modes of discernment. I don't have time to get into all three of them, but the second one is where it's sort of like this, the dawn kind of coming, the sun coming up in the morning. Right. As you're looking at the horizon at first, it seems kind of dark. Maybe there's a little bit of light over there, but you're not sure what's going on. And then as you sit with it a little bit more, the light comes up a little bit more, and then it comes up a little bit more. And pretty soon, boom, the sun's there. Right. And that's the mode that is most common when you have kind of two possible good choices. You know, it's not like one is immoral or something. And what God usually wants us to do when we have the opportunity to choose between two good things is to just sort of sit with it and keep praying about it and talking about it. And this structure of family prayer that we're proposing to you gives you both a way to pray about it and a springboard for discussion about it. And if you come back to it every day, every time you come back to it, you're going to see a little bit more of that light breaking on the horizon. And suddenly it'll become clear to your family what the best thing to do is. But you've got to be willing to be patient with that over the next several days or even weeks as you keep coming back to it and talking about it honestly, affirming that you want to meet all the goods and needs that you've already identified on that list, but really humbly seeking God's will and his plan for putting all those different needs together. And as you do that, you're going to get it through it, you know, kind of peacefully instead of polarizing the things. Should they do this or should they do that? Or what do you want to do and what do they want to do? And whose needs are more important? You're just putting it all out there and asking God to help you know what he wants while you take care of each other and figure it out together. Thanks so much for the call, Stephanie. If there's more we can do to support you as you work through this process, please don't hesitate to call us again. We'd love to hear back from you, especially as you begin to find answers. I think it would be a great testimony to our other listeners that God really does hear and answer our prayers. Thanks for the call. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about dealing with discernment. Stick around for more More to Life coming up.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are taking your calls today about knowing God's will for your life and having the confidence to move forward in those situations where you're feeling a little stuck. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Damon Owens. He is from foryourmarriage.org, and he is going to be,
we still have him.
Damon, are we still there?
We've been having trouble issues with his connections. Let's try to get him back as soon as we can, guys. Let us know.
In the meantime, let's go to the phones and start taking your calls.
We're talking with Becky, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Georgia on the Quest.
Hi, Becky. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hey, my son is living with his girlfriend. She's been doing it about a year, and they have a newborn baby now, and they're going to be moving into a larger apartment. I invited them to come stay at our house for a couple of weeks while their apartment's getting ready. And I was just wondering if, I don't know how patient to be with him before, you know, I've encouraged him to talk with our pastor about maybe getting married or, you know, I'm not exactly sure how to deal with it.
So how has that conversation gone so far? What have you said? How has he received it? What's the dynamic there?
Listen, I'm going to have to go pretty soon because I'm taking a girl to work, but he said he will contact him, but he just hasn't done it yet. Do I just continue to keep talking to him about it or?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong in talking with him about it, but you also have to understand that if they're in this situation, they probably don't, A, have an active relationship with God, or B, really understand what Catholic sacramental marriage is. So while you're, you know, talking to him about this, don't just encourage him, call the pastor, get married, so that they can rubber stamp this relationship. For them to fully have a sacramental relationship, encourage them to start to know God. Talk about God gently and lovingly in your home while they're there. Pray with them throughout the day, not in a big way, but in small ways. Lord, please help them with the baby. They're so tired today. You know, Lord, please help them get everything right with their new home. Little things that are going to encourage them to start developing the relationship that will lead to a true sacramental marriage.
Yeah, so you know, the other thing is I'd like you to inform yourself, okay, on what is the difference. You know, because I think, you know, up until fairly recently, really, we all sort of took for granted that marriage meant the same thing to everybody, and it doesn't, right? And so what's the distinction that a Catholic marriage makes? What difference does it make? How does it compare to other relationship types, including cohabitation? In our book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, in the very first chapter, we have readers imagine going to a relationship store. And we kind of line up all the relationship products on the shelf side by side, from cohabitation to civil marriage to, you know, other marriages in other churches to Catholic marriage. And we kind of, you know, you turn around the box and you look at the benefits on the back of the box of each of these types of relationships. And if you'll read that chapter, it's going to help you have a clearer sense of why you want your kids to get married in the church. Right? I mean, you feel that you want them to, but you can't articulate it. So you need to be able to kind of explain to them, look, this is why I want you to get married to the church. These are the benefits that God wants to give you. This is the kind of relationship you deserve. And by living together, you're just settling, you know? And I want the best for you. And I want the best for your love. And this is how getting married in the church can help you achieve that. For Better Forever, we'll walk you through those examples. Becky, thanks so much for the call.
This is the fasting that I wish: release those bound unjustly, untie the thongs of the yoke, setting free the oppressed, break every yoke, share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked when you see them. You know the kind of thing I'm talking about. It irks me when people say, well, those are social justice things. What do you mean? It's one of those weasel words. This doesn't have to do with sinful institutional structures. These commandments have to do with personal behavior. So when you begin to say that these are social justice issues, you're really kind of evading Isaiah's point, or God's point through Isaiah, which is, no, I expect you to be setting the oppressed free, and feeding the hungry, and clothing the naked, and, you know, that's for you to do. Don't expect your government to do it. Don't even necessarily expect your church to do it. It's expected that you will do it.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000. And they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted, but I want you to know I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And Styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Pope Francis has said that there are too many children who are orphans within the family, that parents, especially fathers, need to take more time with their children. In today's culture, families can be little more than collections of individuals living under the same roof and sharing a data plan. Marriage and family don't just happen because you occupy the same space, and it has to be more than just what happens in the 5 minutes between all the other activities that keep us busy. Husbands and wives, parents and children need to make a specific, concerted effort to create what I call rituals of connection. These are regularly scheduled times to work, play, talk, and pray together. Pope Francis is asking Catholic families to examine what it really means to be a family and put in the work necessary to achieve that. For more information on Catholic family life, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and before the break, we were having some technical difficulties connecting with Damon Owens, but managed to land him, so we want to do his segment now. Damon Owens is the founder and director of JoyfulEverAfter.org, a marriage ministry rooted in St. John Paul's Theology of the Body, and he's here today to talk to us about principles from the Theology of the Body that can help us know what God's asking us to do in every part of our life. Hey, Damon, welcome to More to Life.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thanks for being so flexible. Text us. When it's great, it's great. When it's not.
It's not.
Well, that's all right. But, hey, look, you know, we were sharing earlier in the program that, you know, the idea of discerning God's will, it seems like this big kind of mysterious, complicated process. And, of course, it is a process. But what are some principles from the Theology of the Body that can help us discern God's will more easily and even on the go as we move about our day?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, you mentioned St. Ignatius earlier. We're so grateful, many of us. In fact, there was a course that we added at the Theology Body Institute when I was there, really melding that really specific process that St. Ignatius gave in the lens of the Theology of the Body. And I think the key principles in discernment there are really important, primarily because it gets right to our own sense of self, of identity, of who we are before God, and it's deeply relational. And I know we talk about this a lot, but this is precisely why discernment is so difficult for the modern mind, for us, for modern people, because it gets us out of what is the common sense that I can control my life. And we don't say this explicitly as Christians, but this is the zeitgeist, this is the spirit. And to be in relation with God means a complete pivoting from this self-reliance, self-creation, things on our own time, sort of the instantaneous versus the patient, God's time versus our time, and absolute certainty in terms of decision versus what we call a prudential certitude. And I know I'm throwing words out here, but at the core of it is that we are offering ourselves as a sacrifice before God when we discern correctly. And we put things on his timetable. We put an answer, a certitude in his as a father, as a daddy. And as a father myself, here in the human sense, it's really opened up for me. And when I look at the delight that I have with my young kids who really look at me and say, Dad, what should I do here? And, you know, that whole relational piece means that the process itself is a path to holiness.
Mm-hmm.
Not just making the right decisions objectively, but how do we grow in trust and in intimacy with God, even as we're making decisions? So that is
a huge point, Damon. And I'm so glad you're making that point, because so many of us, when we're faced with a huge decision, get locked down in the spiritual lie that if we make the wrong, in quotes, decision,
yes,
God will be mad, we'll be off of God's path, we will not please him, and our whole spiritual life will be frozen solid. And that's what this is not what that is about. This is about taking each step with God and learning trust and learning to attune our spiritual ears to him and opening our hearts to him, isn't it? It's not just about making that big daunting decision.
And I struggle with this, Lisa. I struggle with this because of my own wounds. Mm-hmm. And this is why even the process is healing, because it's taking that brokenness of what it really means to be a daughter, a son who is beloved and irreplaceable to God as the father we've never had. But that ideal, that truth, living that out means offering ourselves over and trusting that he will be the daddy that we've never experienced before. And so that's healing. It's drawing us back to him. So it's less about the decision, although it's part of it. It's more about the sacrifice, the process, the ability to give ourselves over to God and to know that he loves us, he sees us, he's delighted in us, and he cares about every detail. It's living as a daughter.
Damon, thank you so much for bringing those principles to us, and especially that kind of affirmation that, you know, discernment isn't a test, that if we get it wrong, then we fail the test and we don't get to go past go and collect 200 grace units or something.
I would use that.
Appreciate your time and your wisdom. And if folks would like to learn more about your great work, they should go to joyfuleverafter.org, a terrific marriage ministry that you and Melanie run, rooted in the principles of the theology of the body, to help people get the marriage they want from the marriage they have. Again, that's joyfuleverafter.org. Blessings to you, Damon. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. God bless you.
And we're taking your calls right now about discernment. How do we know what God is asking us to do in big and small things? You know, how do we stop feeling like it's a big test that we have to get right, and then we get paralyzed because we don't know what the right thing to do is? How can we move forward with that confidence that God wants us to have as we face the big and small challenges in our life and relationships? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Barbara, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Georgia.
Hey, Barbara. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Do we have Barbara with us from Georgia? Okay. Well, let's wait for Barbara then.
And we'll come back to her in just a minute. Let's go to, Sue, listening in Nebraska on KVSS. Hey,
there
Sue,
we
welcome
go.
To More to Life.
Hello.
Hi, Sue. What's up
trying to? Well, I have a son that has three children with him and his wife, and they had a baby in November, which we've never seen other than pictures or Zoom time. Mm-hmm. And I received a text from her stating that they're going to be having birthday parties for the two older kids that are in May. And if we are vaccinated, we are welcome to come. If not, we won't be.
Okay.
And so your question is what?
How should I pray to make the right decision? Because I do not feel right about the vaccination.
Okay. So And when you say you don't feel right about it, can you tell me a little bit more about what it would mean to you to be vaccinated? Help me kind of walk me through that a little bit.
I don't think it's been tested enough. I don't think there's enough research on it. Long-term effects that are supposed to come.
So you have health concerns for yourself. Because, you know, some people have kind of moral questions about it. Some people have health questions. So I just wanted to understand what you were getting at. So, obviously, this is something that falls into the area of what's called prudential judgment, which means that each Catholic person is free to make up their own mind in prayer. It's not just a matter of what do I feel like doing. It's a matter of what do I feel like God is calling me to in prayer to do. We will actually post the link to this resource on our Facebook page at More to Life later on today. But if you just even Google USCCB, COVID vaccine, you're going to get a link to the page from the Secretariat for Pro-Life Activities that describes the church's teachings on all of this and how you can properly form your conscience and prayerfully discern the best way to go. I'm looking at it right now, and the document says, you know, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which is the Vatican's kind of doctrinal committee, if you will, has noted, quote, that vaccination is not, as a rule, a moral obligation, and that, therefore, it must be voluntary. It goes on to say, quote, in any case, from the ethical point of view, the morality of vaccination depends not only on the duty to protect one's own health, but also on the duty to protect the common good. And it goes on to say that, quote, in the absence of other means to stop or prevent the epidemic, vaccination may promote the common good, especially to protect the weakest and most exposed. And it goes on from there. I'll post the link to this page, but if you want to just Google it, it's Secretariat for Pro-Life Activities, COVID vaccine. Just put that in your search engine, it'll come right up. And the way you discern this is the way you discern anything else. You know, like we were talking about with our previous caller, you bring it to God and you say, look, Lord, this is what I'm feeling. Okay. This is what's on my heart. I have these concerns about health. If some listeners have concerns about the morality of it, you know, bring that up as well. But this is what my daughter-in-law is saying. You know, this is, I'm longing to have a better relationship with her and to see my grandchildren. You know, these are my concerns. I know what I want. I know what she wants. Help me to really discern what you want. And in trying to pray about that, another principle that's good to keep in mind, and we actually talk about this in my book, for The Life God Wants You to Have, you ask yourself in prayer, what is the most meaningful, intimate, and virtuous solution in front of you? Meaningfulness means, you know, you what option gives you the best opportunity to use your gifts to be a blessing to others? Secondly, what option in front of you gives you the best opportunity to strengthen the relationships and make them healthier and stronger between you and others? And thirdly, which option gives you the best opportunity to grow in virtue and strength and confidence and leave behind that fear that holds us back in things? So as you pray, what is the most, as you reflect on that question, what is the most meaningful, intimate, or virtuous option that you believe is available to you?
That you feel God is telling you mm-hmm. is the most meaningful, virtuous, and intimate thing that you can do so that you're not just going with that gut instinct because, oh my goodness, isn't Satan using fear in every situation right now? You're afraid. Your daughter-in-law's afraid. Everybody's afraid. If we rely only on that instead of an active conversation with God where we're saying to him, Lord, you have to guide me in this. You have to show me what the most meaningful and virtuous thing that I can do is in this situation. Where do you want me to grow? How do you want me to do this? The other thing I'm going to be very cautious with you here, Sue, is to say, don't get mad at your daughter-in-law about this. It would be very easy for anyone in your situation to take offense in some way and say, well, she's not letting me see the grandchildren. She doesn't understand, you know, my issues with this. She doesn't care about my long-term health. Your daughter-in-law is also coming from a place of deep concern, just as you are. They seem opposing at the moment, but you both have your concerns. She has three beautiful young children. The virus is becoming more and more dangerous for kids, and she's got that concern, especially for a newborn. And she wants to make sure they're safe. This isn't her saying, I don't want to be with you. I don't want you in my house. I
so
disagree
don't make it
with
personal.
You on something.
Right.
Don't personalize it. Don't get mad about this. Take this to prayer in a way that not only you can discern it, but let's say you really discern that, no, right now it's you're going to have to abide by her rules and regulations and you're not going to get vaccinated. Well, then you have to start praying, Lord, how do I express this to my daughter-in-law and my son and my grandchildren in a way that will not offend them, will not make them feel rejected?
And one little suggestion there, this came to us, actually, Mike Aquilina, who you might know from EWTN, and he writes a lot with Scott
Hahn. Many books.
He says, you know, when you're having a difficult conversation with someone, he recommends asking your guardian angel to go ahead of you to talk to their guardian angel. And I think it's a beautiful
Very
idea.
Very important to do. And it works.
And
it works really well.
I got to tell you, plenty of times when I was terrified of having a particular conversation with somebody, and I said, okay, guardian angel, I don't know how to say this, but you please go ahead and talk to their guardian angel.
Because I know there'll be a wall up between us if you don't.
Anyway, the you're free to do what you need to do, whatever it is that you feel that you need to do. But as it says in 1 John 4:1, you know, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. So whatever feeling we have, whether it's confidence or fear or anxiety or wisdom, whatever it is, whatever that feeling is, don't go with that feeling. Bring that feeling to God and say, look, this is what's on my heart, Lord. And this is also what I'm being told by my daughter-in-law or other people or whatever. Help me to know what you want me to do in this situation and give me the courage to do it. Help me to know whether these feelings are coming from you or from the enemy who's trying to hold me back from this strong relationship with my grandchildren, or whether this is a consolation from the Holy Spirit saying that you don't want me to do this for my health, you know, whatever that is. But help me to not base this on my feelings, but on your will and what the most meaningful, intimate, and virtuous option is before me. And you keep praying that, and like I was saying to our previous caller, if you do that every day and you continue to reflect and pray, the right answer is going to come to you very much like the sun comes up in the morning. You know, little by little by little, and suddenly you're just going to know. I promise you, keep to that process. Trust that God wants to tell you what he wants you to do. But even more importantly, he wants you to draw closer to him. And we'll talk more about that in a second. But Sue, thank you for the call. And if there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. And, you know, we talk about this more in the life God wants you to have. I want to just address one thing, and then we have to go to our break. But, you know, people often ask me as a counselor, well, how come God makes it you know, so hard? How come this has to be a process?
Oh, yes.
Right?
You know, people ask you. We all ask ourselves that every single day.
I mean, you know, I said earlier, you know, it's not a big mystery. It's not like God's trying to keep things from us behind some veil and make it a big secret or a test. But he does want us to commit to a process because, you know, God uses all these little decisions we have to make every day to draw us closer to him.
Yeah, as we were talking about with Damon Owens.
That's what he cares about, okay? You know, you might say, well, what does God care about whether I don't know, do this on Saturday or that on Saturday? What does God care about this particular? Well, in the grand, you know, eternal scheme of things, those things probably don't matter all that much. But God cares about them because those are the things he uses to draw you closer to him so that you can be with him for all of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And so
be with him more now. Yeah. I want to emphasize, it's not just the eternal reward, which is so important, but it's not just that. It's about he wants to be an intimate part of every moment in your life. He wants to walk with you and love you and guide you and embrace you and shine his light into your heart and mind and soul.
But the problem is we don't ever ask him to do that. We get so caught up in our own little stuff. We don't sit around and say, oh, Lord, please draw closer to me every day. We usually just say, we go on with our business, and then we say, oh, by the way, Lord, tell me what to do about this. So he uses those things to give us those answers, but also to say, but you know what? Sit with me a while. You know, let's develop our relationship, too. So that's why it has to be a process. With that, we got to go to break. And as we do, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from James 1, verse 5.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all, without reproach, and it will be given to him. And we've learned always through Scripture the best thing to ask for is wisdom. God appreciates us when we ask for wisdom. It is the best thing we can ask for. But I love that little appositive here. God gives generously to all without reproach. He's waiting for you to invite him into every moment of your life, every decision you have to make, every breath you take. He loves you. He's working for your good constantly. We just have to invite him in. And if we're dealing with a particularly difficult decision to make, or even if we're just dealing with the small ones, he wants to be part of it. And he will give you the wisdom that you need when you ask him.
877-573-7825. Join the conversation. If you are feeling a little stuck and not sure what God might want you to do or say in a particular situation, or what the next step is that he is asking you to take to address a particular challenge you're facing, let's talk it out together and use the principles that we've been discussing throughout the hour to help you get the clarity and confidence you need. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org. Nestled under the warm Florida sun is a university whose name indicates a vocational call. Ave Maria, Latin for Hail Mary, recalls the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary of her future vocation, becoming the Mother of God. Enriched by God's grace, Mary freely ascends to this call. This is the model for all students. Come to Ave Maria University, where you'll be empowered to clearly see your vocational call, whatever that call might be. Ave Maria University, your vocation location. Visit avemaria.edu. We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking about knowing what God is asking you to do, in big things and small things. How do you cultivate the confidence that allows you to make those decisions and move forward and not feel so stuck? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Tina Marie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania.
Tina Maria, welcome to Word to Life. What can we do for you?
The reason I'm calling actually is to just give, a little bit of encouragement to everyone. I don't struggle like I used to with, discernment and, this thing of, oh Lord, what do I do next? Or, oh, Lord, how am I going to handle this situation or that situation? I've had a lot of difficulties throughout my lifetime, and he's never, ever, ever, ever forsaken me. Like, it's just faith. There's no fear. We may feel fear. We can dismiss that fear when we truly turn it over and have faith in him. And there's so many times that I just now even I'll say, Lord, you know, and sometimes it's a lot during the day, and other times it's just, you know, maybe once or twice a day. But I'll be like, Lord, you know, you have never, ever let me down in this. You've always been true to me. I know you have my best interests at heart, and I know that you'll show me the way or help me through this, and you'll help me find a way through. And I
so
just
let me ask you a question. No, that's beautiful. That's really beautiful. But the one question I want to ask is, so with that prayer, then, how do you know that, you know, how do you discern that the choice you're going to make is the right choice, or the thing you're going to do is the right thing to do? Or do you just assume it? Or how, you know, based on that prayer, how do you get that confidence?
I just say, Lord, I know that you're going to lead me through this. And I try very hard to not allow myself to allow those things that it's okay. I realize it's okay for us to be angry, but it's how we respond to that anger and how we respond to others. And I try to respond as I believe that, he gave us the example and the path to do so in love. And
I think that's beautiful. Actually, I'm only going to jump in because we only have about a minute and a half here, but I think that you're really on the right track with that confidence. You know, we were talking about with Damon earlier that so many of us have that fear that I'm going to get it wrong, I'm going to fail God's test, and then I'm going to be outside his will and outside his plan, and then I'm doomed. And you're talking about how important it is to let go of that fear.
And I love the fact that you base it in looking at his grace throughout your life and saying, this is where God showed up, and this is where God showed up, and it's letting you build up that trust in him.
Now, the one thing I want to add, and you may do this, but we didn't give you enough time to kind of walk through the whole thing just because we're limited on the time that we have left. But that is, you know, it's important to also really test those spirits, to not just assume that whatever I feel like doing or whatever it comes naturally to me is the thing that God wants me to do. Because I think that we can say, you know, look, God is going to lead me, and I trust that he's always had my back and he's always guided me in all these decisions. But I think it's easy to sometimes fall then into the sin of presumption, where we just sort of say, So whatever I do is going to be the thing. So the thing I'd like you to add to this, if you're not already doing it, is, again, that test of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. In whatever situation I'm finding myself, you know, I know that God has always been with me, that God has always had my back, and he always works for my good. And I have every confidence that he's going to lead me and guide me here. But Lord, help me to know what the most meaningful, intimate, and virtuous response to this situation would be. Help me to know how to use my gifts and talents to be a blessing to others, which is meaningfulness. How to work to make my relationships stronger and healthier and more godly, which is intimacy. And how to use this situation as an opportunity for growth, which is virtue. The more you reflect on that meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue test, the more confident you can be that whatever choice you make is truly God's will for you. We talk more about this in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, available at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can also learn about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice and lots of other resources to help you live a more abundant life. Check it out, CatholicCounselors.com.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.